Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
As we are counting down the days to October 24th, we are taking a look at really memorable parts of the Burt Show over the last 25 years. And you better buckle up because you're about to go on an emotional roller coaster here in just a couple of seconds. Just to address this really quickly, those of you that have hit us up and said, well, how about doing a podcast where you're just posting all of the old shows from the last 25 years? And that'll give us something to listen to if you guys aren't going to be live. And we researched that and thought it would be a slam dunk, no problem. But you have to go through a lot of legal things, and now we have an answer for you.
It's happening. So starting October 27th, which is the first day the Burt Show is off the air, you'll get to listen to old school best of Burt Show from the past 25 years. And then we're also creating a community that we're going to be launching around then too, with even more content, places for you to chat with each other. I'm really excited about it. I'll have more details about that later. But the app, if you use the Burt Show app, it's going away. So you're going to have to subscribe on Apple or Spotify to the free public podcast feed to make sure you don't miss that content.
There are 25 years of shows. So if you are that hardcore about the Burt Show, you don't have to leave us.
Yeah, you can hear the different life cycles of the Burt Show, which is pretty cool, honestly.
All right, buckle in on this one here, man. This is an emotional roller coaster here because I haven't heard this in a long time, but I know every time I hear it, listening to your cousin in that kind of pain, calling 911 after a chute didn't open when he was skydiving is one of the most painful things I've ever listened to in my life.
Yeah, the chute opened, but it got twisted and then it slammed him into the ground when he landed. So my family, my dad's side, owns a skydiving business in Ohio. And this is just one of those fluke accidents. This wasn't like his first jump. He's jumped numerous times before. And I remember my dad calling to tell me the news. And so obviously we talk about our lives. So I told you guys, did some digging, got their blessing to find the 911 audio, had my cousin and his dad on the air. And they listened to the 911 audio because my cousin hit the ground. He was the one that called 911. His dad was rushing to him because they, I believe, had both jumped. And then, like, that recovery. And, of course, in true Burt Show fashion, got to make it bigger. Can't just talk about the story. And I don't even know how. I'm sure we'll hear in the clip because it's going to be fascinating to listen back to how I ended up flying to Ohio in a perfectly good plane where I didn't jump out to get there to jump out of a plane with my cousin and the rest of my family, with my Aunt Marilyn, who was there at the time. May she rest in peace. My Uncle John, a.k.a. Uncle Thumper, because he loved to thump people on the head.
Uncle Thumper?
Uncle Thumper. My brother called him Uncle Thumper because he would, like, thump my brother on the head. And so God rest his soul. He's no longer with us. So it's so crazy that, you know, so much has transpired since then. But to go back and relive that. So, yeah, I went to Ohio and jumped out of a plane with my cousin for his first jump back in the sky.
Kristen made a commitment to her cousin that survived a skydiving accident, that the first time he gets back in a plane and he goes skydiving, Kristen said, I want to skydive with you.
Lost your damn mind.
And she did it.
I did it. I will start this off by saying I was terrified going into this. This was never on my bucket list. I've never wanted to go skydiving. Don't understand why people jump out of a perfectly good plane. I could have gone my entire life having never done this. But I made a promise. I followed through on my commitment. And I can say I think everybody should do it once.
It's amazing.
It's insanely just euphoric. And it makes you conquer every fear you feel like you've ever had.
You feel like you can do anything after it.
I don't know about that.
I sure did.
I couldn't really walk. I needed to, like, process.
Like, your legs are, like, shaking?
It wasn't until that night I was sitting at this little podunk Mexican restaurant in Middletown, Ohio, and I was drinking a margarita, and I'm like, I did that. Like, I did that.
Awesome. I'll tell you just a real quick story, because this is all about you here, but when I did my jump, and it was in D.C. probably 15, 20 years ago, you obviously were, like, the instructor fanny pack, right? Because they attach themselves to you and they do all the work. You're
I was
like
uncomfortably close to my cousin.
Yes.
It felt very Kentucky.
Is that who you were? I thought he didn't do tandem.
He doesn't do tandem. It was an all family jump. I jumped with four of my cousins. We did it all family.
Wow.
When you see the video and all of us jumping together, it was really like I teared up watching the video because it was very moving.
Is it the when first time you've been that close to your cousin, not naked?
Second.
I remember taking one step out and you have your foot on that little platform and you're still holding on to the side of the plane. And I couldn't allow my hand to take it off of the plane. The instructor was slapping my hand.
You told that
because I couldn't let go.
They don't do it like that.
That's not how you did it?
No, I didn't get to hold on to anything. So for those of you that might have missed, it's a second cousin. My cousin was in a skydiving accident. He does this for a living and broke a pelvis, vertebrae. I mean, he should have died, but he survived. And this jump was literally a year to the day he had his accident.
I just wanted to play like a clip of the 911 audio.
Dispatch Pierce, what is your emergency?
Yes, I'm a skydiver at Newtown Airport. I just had a really hard landing and I hurt my back. I can move my feet, but I can't sit up.
Okay, what did you do?
I was skydiver at the Middletown Regional Airport.
Okay.
All right, so if that's me, I'm never getting in a plane. I'm never saying the word plane again. I'm not building a model plane. I'm not doing anything.
So I flew to Dayton, Ohio. I committed, and now we're getting all our gear on, and we're getting prepped. And all my cousins are there in the room, and I'm getting all my stuff together, and I'm getting reminders of what to do during the jump.
You all come out of the van now. Now you're in the room, and you're getting your jumpsuit on, literally?
Putting my jumpsuit on, putting all the harnesses on that's going to get attached to my cousin David. That's my dad's nephew, my dad's godson. I jump with my dad's godson.
Three main things to remember are smile.
Smile.
Breathe.
Breathe.
Relax.
Relax.
And breathing is not fast breath, it's slow breath. So you're smiling, and you're breathing in and out slow, and what is that going to help you to do? Relax.
Not pass out.
That's also a bonus. So
if we really suck, if I did this and I didn't remember.
We'll have it all documented.
So that's us in a room together, just family, getting all our gear on, our jumpsuits, and I'm getting all harnessed up.
Now, how are you feeling at this point? Claustrophobic that you're getting harnessed up? Are you starting to breathe heavy? Are you sweating? Are you like, is there a way I can get out of here?
I still haven't comprehended I'm doing this.
You were oddly calm going into it. I will say that.
I was in like another dimension. And it hadn't dawned on me that I was about to hurl my body out of a plane. Now, when it really starts to hit you is when we're all out there and we walk onto the plane and the plane takes up and you have 12 minutes to sit there and think about what the hell you're about to do.
I remember asking the guy over and over and over again, so is this where we're going to jump from? And he's like, oh no, we're only at 5,000 feet. We're going to 15. Then I'd ask him like a couple seconds later, is this where we're going to jump from? No, dude, we're at 8,000 feet. We're going to 15. It just seemed like it was getting higher.
That would be the worst.
So for 12 minutes as we make our ascent to 13,000 feet, we're jumping from 2.5 miles up. And then that's when everything starts to set in the nerves. And here they are, and we're talking.
You're in the plane now.
We're in the plane now, and we're talking, trying to have a conversation. I'm not really, a lot of this I don't remember. Like, I had to go back, and I'm like, I had that conversation.
Yeah, I've never done this.
So you hear my cousin in the back saying more nostalgia. That was the one who had the accident. Because his dad asked him, he goes, do you have butterflies? How are you feeling? And he goes, it's more nostalgia. Because we're literally going up, and at the time is when he was calling 911 after he had hit the ground.
Now, are you jumping at the same spot as well?
Yes.
That's crazy.
We're in the drop zone, same spot where he had his accident.
Oh, family of fools.
And then this dawns on me.
Oh, my God. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Without a doubt.
Where was Bart during all this?
He was back home.
Oh, he didn't go to Ohio with you?
No, it was just myself and then our videographer, Rhett, who got everything documented.
Hey, baby, I just want you to know that whenever you do anything really stressful, it gets hard, I'm going to be with you shoulder to shoulder, okay? That's what our relationship is all about, unless you're jumping out of a plane, and then you're on your own.
So we continue to climb, and then they open the door of the plane.
All right, so
I don't even remember saying that.
You're not attached to him yet. They just open up the door.
No, I'm attached now.
You are attached now, and the wind is starting now to come into the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And all you can do is utter those words. Okay.
Lord have mercy. That's the only thing. They're trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm like, I can't. So my cousin David has attached me to him. So I'm literally pressed up against him, and he's trying to remind me about smile and breathe. And
you're like, shut up!
And then my cousin who had the accident and his dad, and then also his little brother, his 19-year-old brother who's done like 3,000, 4,000 jumps, something crazy like that. We're all in the plane together. This is a family affair. We're all going to jump together. And then here comes the moment. This is the moment, if you can envision, this is going to sound really perverted, but whatever. So I got my cousin strapped to my back, and I'm on my knees, and I'm looking out the plane, okay? Like, I'm right there looking out at Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm shaking just thinking about it. And my cousin asked me a question to make sure I had my wits about me, to make sure my adrenaline hadn't got the best of me.
Is it in yet?
That was it. You idiots. So this would have been the last thing something would have happened to me on the jump. This would have been my last words on this earth. Here's the jump.
So you're free falling there?
The longest 45 seconds of your life. Like,
so you're not yelling or anything during
You can't. It takes, you're going 120 miles an hour. Like, it's hard enough to focus on breathing.
I think I remember screaming.
I couldn't scream.
Really?
I physically could not scream. And then all of a sudden, out of my like peripheral, there's the first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And then over here to the left.
Still in a free fall.
Still in a free fall.
But they're one of those guys that they can like direct themselves and stuff like that.
There's my second cousin.
Whoa.
And then right in front of me, there's the videographer. And they're all sitting there and we're all floating down together in a circle.
No way.
And then my cousin reaches out to grab my hand and he grabs my hand. And you can see in the video, I'm like, give me my damn hand back. I'm like, don't touch me. Oh, they got awesome video and pictures of all of us just like free falling together. It was so, it's like looking at like watching the video is so cool. But in the moment, I hated it.
So then the canopy comes out, right?
Yes. And this is David, who I am doing tandem with. He pulls the chute, and this is the moment when he pulls the chute.
You're still in the sky.
No, he had pulled the chute, it jerks you back, and now the canopy's open, and now you have about 4 minutes of where you glide back down to Earth.
That part, like being under canopy to me, was almost as scary as the free fall, because as you're coming down, when a wind gust comes...
You mean a bed sheet is elevating you thousands of feet? I can understand why that would have some fear associated with it.
It'll move you like 10 or 12 feet to the left or whatever, at least it feels that way, and it freaks you out badly as the actual free fall.
I can understand that.
Oh, my legs were shaking so bad. Like, I felt like a dog when he's asleep, and it's like little legs are moving, but he doesn't know it. I physically cannot stop my legs from shaking. I was shaking so bad.
Did you make a tinkle?
Well, that came up when we were underneath the canopy.
Oh, jeez.
You're awesome, man.
Oh, this is terrifying. Okay.
Now look up at the top of the clouds. Watch this. Look up. Keep your head up. Keep looking up.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
So he grabs it, and he's like, look up, and he takes it, and he starts doing swirls. And I'm like, you SOB, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to do that. And just so you know, Burt Show did get a shout-out as we were gliding down.
I think I forgot to put my arms out.
No, I didn't tell you to put them out because you were holding on to your microphone.
Oh, okay.
Your microphone came out of the thing.
I saw that. I grabbed it, though. I kept my wits about me.
Oh, you did great.
Are you still under canopy now?
Yeah, the reason why I did that is because I didn't want anybody on the Burt Show to yell at me that I didn't get any audio.
When I did the free fall, the microphone came out, and I had to grab it, and I had to hold it.
Like it was floating above your head?
Yes.
Was it taped to your face, or where was it?
It was taped around my neck, but it came out, so I literally had to grab it.
That's dedication, because I wouldn't have been able to do that.
She's heard the story too many times, the guy we had jump out of a plane during commercials.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He lands, and he's like, it's done!
I'd be damned if I had to do this twice. I'm like, we're doing it once, and we're making sure we get good audio. And then, of course, aside from jumping out of the plane, the second most terrifying is the landing, because you don't want to break anything. Coming in.
Right, and that's where your cousin screwed up.
But yeah. Thank God I didn't think about that.
All right, go ahead and put your feet up.
So many jokes.
All right, Kristen, what do you say about that? Go ahead and take your goggles off, Kristen.
Oh, gosh. You people are friggin' idiots for doing that every day.
Yeah.
But in the best possible way, that was absolutely insane.
You know, though, you make a commitment and you follow through on it. You said you'd jump with God.
I only did that for you.
And at that moment, amazing. I'm hugging my cousin. I'm back on solid ground, and we're done.
Amazing. The video is up online right now. And Kristen comes from the kind of family you hate because everybody in the family is beautiful. Like the cousin that busted up his back, he's like one of the best looking dudes you'll ever see on video.
Seriously?
And he's single.
He's like, he looks like he walked right out of Top Gun is what he looks like. The video is fantastic. Rhett did a great job, and whoever else put it together, it is really amazing.
I have to give a shout. Start skydiving in Middletown, Ohio. It's one of the greatest drop zones in all of the country. I recommend doing it once.
It's fantastic. And the video is up online right now at thebirdshow.com. Great job, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, so we're back live now, and we are going to repost that video. Where are we going to put it, Cass?
Right now it's live at thebirdshow.com. If you click Carrot on today's show, and I'll put it up on our Instagram, too.
So your thoughts on listening back after all those, and it's good to hear Jeff's voice.
Yeah.
Really, he's just so funny.
Very. And there were a lot of inappropriate cousin jokes that could have been made. I saw Abby's face as she was listening to the noises I was make as I was like hurling myself to the earth. Yeah.
You just make everything sexy.
I do.
Which I was like, ooh, I'm a little turned on.
It's funny you mention that because I used to write a post for every single segment we ever did on the show. And this was, 12 years ago? Uh-huh. And literally the one call I have is Kristen's noises.
Yes. A funny segment, if the show wasn't going off the air, is we should just take clips of us out of context, whether it's you doing, jumping out of an airplane and be like, what segment was this about? And it'd be like, well, I have no idea. It sounds like Kristen is having a moment.
Well, used to do that.
Yeah, we used to.
We did Burt Show sex tapes where we took when we would make inappropriate comments or noises, and we have Burt Show sex tapes.
We can try to find it.
You want to hear?
All right. So again, just to remind you guys, listening back to all these clips, I didn't even think about this. I'm such an idiot of how we could have put all this stuff up from the last 25 years until you guys brought it up the last couple of weeks. And now Cassie and I are scrambling why didn't we think of this? And if you didn't hear in the beginning, we are going to do just that.
Yeah, so once the Burt Show ends on October 24th, that following Monday on the 27th, we're going to start releasing content from the vault from the past 25 years. And then we're also going to have a separate special community set up, more details coming later, where you can get even more content, chat with each other, get special badges, merch, all that good stuff.
Hey, the Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So kind of a weird day yesterday. I think Kristen was feeling this also because we met last night. We were doing some stuff for Burt's Big Adventure. It was a weird day for me yesterday. the pressure of this job, and I've always said this is not a hard job, it's just a taxing job, and it's pressure filled because everything we do is under a microscope when it comes to ratings, right? And every 4 weeks we get some ratings, and three ratings periods equal what we call in the industry a book. That is your ratings that the salespeople go out and they say, hey, our show is number 12. you should really advertise on this show, right? So every 3 months, really, everybody is around, at least in the sales department, they sit around and they wait for these ratings to come. And it's stressful. It is really stressful trying to put together a show each and every day and making sure that we don't suck and you guys are listening to it. And we have been very fortunate over 25 years where we have been pretty consistent when it comes to the ratings. There are times where they're not nearly as good as we want them to be, and it is stressful. But it is, I never take for granted when the ratings are good. And secretly, I was really, really hoping that this very last ratings period that we were going to have on the Burt Show, that we were going to be able to walk away and say that we were number one, right? So I had actually forgotten about it, to be honest with you. And I got an email yesterday from the people that look at the ratings and they're like, hey, guess what? You guys are number one in your demos. And it was such a mixed bag of emotions for me, and I think for you too yesterday, Kristen, in that you worked so hard for those. And I'm in such a fortunate position, you guys, that I get to leave on my own terms. In this industry, that is sort of unheard of. Mm-hmm. Generally, what happens is you stay too long and your ratings suck, and then you bounce around from station to station within a market, or you have to continue to try to find a show outside of the city, right? That hasn't happened with us. And we've been very, very fortunate. So when those ratings came out yesterday, I was so proud, so relieved, but also like, what the F am I doing? Like, what a situation we have here. We have really built something, and it's very hard to be number one in any demo. And when we got him yesterday, I immediately sent those to Kristen, knowing what her reaction was going to be. It was like, of course.
Of course. Well, it was sweet because not only you, but our PD also hit me up. And it was in a different demo that she was letting me know. So it wasn't just one, but it was two demos that we snagged number one for our summer book. And I was like,
yeah,
of course.
Right.
But I mean, that's a testament to the listeners, man, and their loyalty and their support. And this wasn't the looky-loos after you announced your retirement. Like, this was all done.
This was before
pre-announcement. Yeah. So because this was going to be for third quarter. So which is our summer book. But yeah, it's weird. It feels good, but it also feels like, why are we into this?
Yeah, so I can understand why people in the industry are hitting me up going like, what's going on with Cumulus? Why are they getting rid of you? They're not.
Trust me, they are not happy about this.
I don't know if they are or not. I don't think they are. Yeah. But what I want to do is I want to thank you guys again. And I've been thanking you for 25 years because right from the start, when we didn't know what we were doing, you guys were supporting this show. Mm-hmm. And it should have never worked. Like, we were going up against radio stations like Star that had such a huge signal. We had 3,000 watts. And the analogy that I used to use for people is that imagine opening a mom and pop restaurant that only has like 12 tables and you're going up against Chili's that has like 100 tables. And at the end of the day, our mom and pop was getting better receipts and we were making a profit better than the big chain, right? It was unheard of at that time. It's just a really great story because it built and built and built. And then we went to this bigger signal and you guys have been supporting us all the way. And to be able to end like this, all I can do is thank you guys. And Kristen and Abby also, I mean, this is a new experience for Abby also. And I'm sure like hearing that we're number one and now you having to find another job must be like very frustrating.
No, I mean, it's great because the number one question I get every time I'm on a call with a potential new employer is they're like, why is it ending? Like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we were number one last time around. So it's great to be able to throw out that number because then it's not, oh, they're getting rid of you because you guys suck and the Burt Show is tanking and that's why you all have to find new jobs. It's just your time to go. And I don't fault you for that at all. Like, if this is the right time for you to retire, then we're going to be fine. Like, I think about me, I'm going to be okay. So you know, all these interviews and stuff, like, it's been comforting to be like, no, we do really good work. We're just going on a different path.
Agreed. I'm getting a lot of texts, you know, so I've put together this gratitude list, and I have about 50 people on this list that have helped me out in my career that I've been texting or emailing, in some cases calling, and just thanking them for being part of my career in small ways and in big ways also. And it's funny to get the texts back now, because it used to be like Kristen used to say that when I was talking about like leaving radio, she used to not take it seriously.
No, you were the boy that cried retirement. Like, it was never going to happen.
Right.
It was like, it was good in theory, but I'm like, he can't step away from being Burt Showbert.
Right. So now that narrative.
Turns out I was wrong.
Eventually you were going to be wrong. So now the narrative has changed, and it's, oh, you'll be back.
Oh, shut up.
Uh-huh. It's like, okay, I understand, but it's very hard to process a situation like this when you're in radio that you just don't leave in this circumstance. So people are saying that, oh, you're going to be back. You just need a break. And as I've been thinking about that, I'm trying to keep my mind open about it. Like, I can't think of a situation where I would... Because really what I'm trying to do is get away from performing. That's really what I want to do, is that so much of my self-worth has come from performing and getting adulation from other people, that I'm just ready to move on from that life, right? And find joy and peace in other areas. But like I've said to you guys over the course of the last couple of weeks, a lot of this is theoretical. I mean, I've never been that person before. So I'm trying to turn into the person I've always wanted to be. But there is a question like, am I capable? Now, it might not be radio, but I'm also giving myself the grace in like 6 or 7 months to say, like, you know what? That's part of who I am, and that's part of my juice. So I don't know if it's going to be a podcast. I don't know if it's going to be video. It may be nothing at all. But I also don't want to look at it and say, if I do something that is performative, that I've somehow failed.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture you. My thinking for you is, you're not going to know until you try. So, and I've been pushing for you to allow yourself some grace, because this is going to be a major adjustment. And not just allow yourself some grace, but those around you, show grace to them as you are figuring out this new path for yourself. So I think there's going to be some growing pains as to discovering who you are without the Burt Show.
And I as I was thinking about this yesterday, and the texts were coming in pretty consistently, I was, okay, you're going to be back doing something. I started to feel like I would be failing you guys, because we have this great situation right now that I'm kind of blowing up because of retirement. And then if I realize like I can't do it again, you guys are already gone. You're already
doing other things. Don't be calling me. I ain't going to be answering.
Right. Like if I come back, like somehow I felt like not only would I be failing myself, but I had thoughts that I'd be failing you guys also, because this is such a great situation.
You've said before, like, you're an all or nothing kind of guy. And I think you think in black and white a lot. It's not a failure if you come back and you want to do performative stuff again. You've learned something about yourself. You've grown. And the best thing I ever saw was a meme that says, why do we talk about things in terms of failures? If I open a bookstore and it's successful for 5 years and then it runs dry, did I fail? Or did I have a really successful bookstore for 5 years? Hmm. My marriage ends. Is it a failed marriage? Or did it just run its course and I had a lot of highlights and great things and it naturally came to an end? So maybe just reframe how you think about it. It's not a failure. It's growth.
So again, I mean, just to thank you guys for 25 years of amazingness. It is always a stressful time for us when the ratings are coming out. And we have, you have made us demand to be outstanding and extraordinary. So even when we're number 3, it bums us out, right? Mm-hmm. When we're number 2, it bums us out. So to be able to go away and say, hey, thank you for allowing the Burt Show to be number 1 one last time is a huge honor.
Yeah, and thanks for that last bonus before I walk out the door. Love you, mean it.
The Burt Show.
I'm not exactly sure we have given enough attention to Rebecca and the Winship 5 from over the weekend, because so much went on and so much went into actually running and raising money for the people that saved your life.
Yes, I ran the Emory Winship Cancer Institute 5K this past weekend. I walked a lot of it. I walked a good bit of it, but honestly... less than I thought. I only walked the uphills, which I was very proud of, because I have not run, like, I haven't even run like a mile in I don't even know how many years, but I was so happy and so proud because Team Rebecca raised $7,725.
Yay, nice.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who donated and supported. It was just amazing. And it was an amazing day because I felt so supported by family, by friends, by people I had never met, listeners who came out, listeners who weren't even on Team Rebecca, who were survivors who came to speak to me because they had heard me talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible day. But I will be a little candid and tell you that being a cancer survivor is not always so incredible. Sometimes actually it's a little bit of a major bummer. So, so I ended treatment for tongue cancer in February of 2024. So that was radiation and chemo. That's when I ended that treatment. And something that I think a lot of people don't realize is that once that treatment ends, the hard part actually starts because you're kind of left to your own devices to really grapple with what you went through. And of course, you're grateful that you made it through, that now you're just looking forward to hopefully clear scans and eventually being deemed cancer-free. But when I finally got to a point where I didn't have to go to the hospital every day, I wasn't just focused on beating this disease. I just had me and my own thoughts. And my thoughts were very angry. Mm. I was angry. I was so upset. I was lashing out at people around me who didn't deserve it, who supported me. I just had a lot of anger from this trauma of something that I had been through that I didn't deserve, that nobody deserves. And I'm a little bit of an artsy fartsy gal. So I like to express those emotions in creative ways. So I would write, I would journal, I would write poems. I would write like short stories. And I even like designed this short film in my head. And for some reason, I was always fixated on this one scene where I would encounter a fellow cancer survivor. And in this scene, we would just recognize each other and we would grapple with each other and we would be angry and we would scream and we would break things and we would lash out and claw at people who came near us because we had been through something so traumatic that people don't understand. It's so isolating to be a cancer survivor. It's difficult to understand if you haven't been through it yourself. Of course, it's, I think, equally as difficult to watch someone you love go through cancer. But my experience as a survivor is just, it's isolating. People don't understand. And that left me with a lot of anger and something that I've carried for a long time. So at the 5K this weekend, I was not feeling that anger. I was feeling very supported by so many people around me. And after the race, there was a moment where the organizers asked all of the survivors to gather, and we all gathered in front of the stage, and it was a big group of us, and we were going to take a big survivor photo. And I was like, okay, I'd like to do that. I think that's kind of exciting for me. This is something that would almost scare me before, but I'm excited to do this. And the photographer was really awesome, really sweet, but kind of corny. Like, okay, everybody do this. Everybody peace sign. Okay. And the last thing she said was, everybody turn to your neighbor and look at them. And I turned and I looked at the woman who was standing next to me. And she had her arm around me and I had my arm around her and she was holding me in her arms. And I don't know her. She wasn't that old. She was probably in her early 40s. And I don't know her story, but we were looking into each other's eyes and it was such a moment and it felt so special because we saw each other and we smiled at each other and I just realized in that moment that maybe I've moved past anger as an emotion. Maybe what I can carry now is joy, the joy of being alive and being so grateful because I was able to share that with this stranger who'd been through the same thing that I had been. So I was just so grateful that I got to share that moment with a fellow survivor. And thanks for the money, everyone.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.